Hello, hello, hello. It's me. It's Ellis. I know you never thought you'd hear my voice again, but here I am. Coming to you live, not live. Coming to you pre-recorded and maybe years into the future. It's Ellis Walsh, and I'm back because It's Awesomeness Tripled, and I've been away for too long. Last episode I published was May 14th with Death, Gore, Glory, and Bare Fingers, which was a really great episode, super fun to make. But I'm... I've been busy. It hasn't worked out, or I just haven't found the motivation. All right, can you blame me? I'm certainly not going to start blaming myself. I've been on rants on previous episodes about how sorry I am that I'm not posting, but not going to do that anymore. I've also said that before, but we're going to ignore that. But here I am again, right? I cannot bring myself to stop making Awesomeness Tripled. I can't bring myself to end it. I could make an episode saying, guys, here we are. We're done. Done with Awesomeness Tripled, but it's just not possible. I love creating things too much, and, well, sometimes I just can't find it within myself to make an episode. But here I am. It's winter break, and the tradition is to do at least one episode. At least one episode in winter break. Usually more. Hopefully more. But I decided, you know what? I need to make an episode. I got to make an episode. If I don't make an episode, then I don't know. I mean, then I didn't make an episode, and I can't do that. It's the tradition. So here I am, day before Christmas Eve Eve. And one second. Christmas Eve Eve. And Merry Christmas Eve Eve for anybody who celebrates that particular holiday. And, yeah, I wrote a script, spent a really long time on it, and here I am with the episode 5, Alternative Religious Practices.
And ladies and gentlemen, once again, please make sure all your seatbelts are securely fastened. All electronic equipment must be switched off. This includes laptops, mobile phones, and Kindles. We'll be landing shortly.
Feels so good to play that theme song again. All right. No more putting it off. Usually put it off more with some news, with a little sketch, a little thing, but now I think it's time to get into the episode. Today's episode is going to be great. I wrote a script for it. All my good episodes have scripts, and all my bad episodes don't, and all my mediocre episodes also don't. So hopefully this is gonna be a good episode. All right. Today, we have 5 alternative religious practices, all right? Is the Bible getting you down? Is Floor Absorb the Destroyer just not coming soon enough for it to be all worth it? Worried you're not going to be reincarnated as a mushroom? Well, I have a special guest today that's going to provide you with 5 alternative religious practices to get you going again. Please introduce the one professor. Thank you so much, Ellis. I am honored to be on this show. This has been one of my dreams since the day I learned about Awesomeness Tripled, to be on Awesomeness Tripled. And finally, it is time. It is here. So, I am a bit of a religion connoisseur. I've pledged myself to 12 belief systems. I've made 19 holy pilgrimages. I have become a well-respected religious figure in 6 faiths. I started theocracy in college. It was a Catholic college, owned by a Jewish man who was married to a Mormon. I've started 4 respected religions and 18 cults. Needless to say, I'm a bit of an expert. What does it take to legally be considered a religion? Virtually nothing, which is why you can find so many of them out there. But I like to think of a religion as something that explains our wild, wonderful world and gathers followers, people who aren't yet ready to face what's really going on. A reason can be so, so powerful. Religion uses hope to draw people in, and most often fear-mongering to make sure they never leave. The combination of the two makes people become dependent, scared to lose their safety net. Religion can really mess people up, but it can also bring them together, creating wonderful communities, the likes of which you probably won't find anywhere else. So why do I love religions? It's the stories. Almost every religion has extensive, amazing lore, and unlike your favorite novel, they might just prove to be true. I'm here today to present you with a number of alternative religious practices, just in case the Bible's too tedious to you. You're worried you won't be reincarnated as a mushroom, or Florsorp the Destroyer just isn't going to get here soon enough. I think Ellis might have already said that. I'm the professor, the one professor, and it's time to learn some religions. Religion number one, championism. Many religions have a hierarchy. This one only has a hierarchy. Let me explain. Championists believe that no two things are exactly the same. Every single aspect, physical and social, of our world has at least one deviation from the others, and as such, when comparing two things, one must be better than the other. What does this mean for the average believer? Well, for one, there are people who dedicate their entire lives analyzing everything about our world, deciding which things are the best, then cataloging the results. They are far from finished. The other main thing it means for the average believer is the hierarchy. When you join, you start at the bottom of level one. There are 26 levels, the best number. Within these levels, people are ranked against each other. At any point, you may challenge a member of another member of the championist faith to anything. Beat someone at a higher level than you, and you swap positions. Defeat someone at a lower level, and you defend your position, staying where you are. A superior level isn't just a symbol of power. Many privileges are granted to high-level members, including, but certainly not limited to, swimming pool access and foot massages. The person with the highest ranking in level 26 is known as the champion. According to the championists, the champion is the second best human to have ever existed. The first, as dictated by the analysts, is Wendy Jackson, a car salesman who died in 1979. The champion is worshipped like a god, and so is Wendy Jackson. Huge conventions are hosted every few months in which every championist may come and participate in numerous challenges, enjoy further luxuries, and connect with other championists. Conventions like these tend to shake up the internal hierarchy, and more importantly, are lots of fun. Championism is a great religion. It's fun, competitive, and doesn't require a lot of thinking or spiritual self-seeking. Services are held at a church near you on Tuesdays, the best day of the week. Religion number two, Bigianity. This is one of my favorites. It has lots of history and so much lore. And it all starts with a man, a scientist named Arnold Zhuwellen. Arnold Zhuwellen was a brilliant scientist who worked for NASA. He was the reason for very many major breakthroughs, but his most impactful discovery was how to create a wormhole. He proved in a simulation that it was possible using his new method to create wormholes by outfitting spacecraft with his new device. He never revealed how the device worked. Soon after, Arnold Zhuwellen killed three people, was determined to be clinically insane, and was sentenced to a life in the insane asylum. He broke out a few months later. Arnold continued researching, made several more discoveries. He always took the opportunity to share his discoveries with anybody who would listen. This turned out to be many people. He quickly gathered a massive following, with numerous people waiting with bated breath for his next fantastic discovery. Before long, a belief system started to emerge, birthed not only by Arnold's followers, but also by Arnold himself. Bigetans believe that Arnold's wormhole will grant them all immeasurable power. Arnold claims to have found the exact spot in the universe where the Big Bang happened. He also claims he figured out how to get there through wormhole. No one can be quite sure if his findings are scientific fact, the result of his rapidly deteriorating sanity, or if he's being possessed by a god. Nevertheless, Arnold also says that time travel is possible via wormholes, and if they go back to the start of the universe, their souls will be scattered across the newly formed universe, turning them all into gods. Followers of Bigianity are notoriously stubborn, for they all believe their faith to be based in scientific fact. Arnold Zhuwellen and his followers have been gathering funds for years, but are far from ready to build a rocket, outfit it with never-before-seen technology, and fly it to the beginning of the universe. Christianity is great for those who want something more, are willing to wait, or who find it hard to accept religions that haven't been proven. Donate today. Religion number 3. Cosmonism. UFO-based religions are wonderful. Not only do they explain what's going on out here on Earth, but also seek to explain space and what's really going on up there. They're so much fun to study. Cosmonism has to be one of my favorite UFO-based religions. Religions often try to make people feel as if they're part of something larger, and in my opinion, this one does it the best. Cosmonauts believe that there is a parasitic alien race that, millions of years ago, came to Earth and began to infect the local population. They believe that these aliens don't fully rob you of your free will or consciousness, rather nudge you in their preferred direction to fulfill the wishes of the hive mind. There are 4 hive minds that make up the species, each with its own name. Trenizal, Forgast, Luwens, and Bim. Each of the hive minds have millions of members, but only one consciousness. One mind, millions of bodies. The hive minds hate each other and are bitter rivals. However, they are so powerful that an all-out war would completely wipe out the species. As such, they prefer proxy wars to settle their differences. Cosmonauts believe that every single major conflict in human history has been the result of an alien disagreement. Cosmonauts believe that if you have recently experienced extreme, unexpected anxiety, depression, or mental instability, then an alien parasite has probably entered your brain. Because of this, cosmonism attracts a large number of grieving family members, war veterans, and teenagers. Cosmonaut services are very spiritual and contain high amounts of meditation, group discussion, and singing. Worship centers around digging deeper, searching yourself, in order to fully connect yourself with the hive mind and figure out what your parasite wants from you. Cosmonauts develop a deep, sometimes sentimental connection with their parasites and their hive mind. Although cosmonism is often criticized for taking advantage of vulnerable people, only the cults really do so. Cosmonism is perfect for those who truly want to be part of something larger than for themselves, who need their problems explained, and for those who don't have any other coping strategies. Religion number 4. Creator myths are a central part of many religions, but which one has the best? In my opinion, it has to be the Congregation of the War God. 15 years ago, a woman by the name of Holly Adams had a vision. She claimed that through that vision, she found out everything there is to know about the universe. How it was made, what it is made of, and why it was made. Holly claims that the universe does not extend past our own solar system. We are the only things that exist in this universe, and the rest is an illusion. She also says that we are self-contained for a reason. The Congregation of the War God believes that we were all created in the midst of a bloody, hopeless war as a weapon. This war had been going on for quite some time, and it was accompanied by a divine arms race. Both sides knew that it would never end. As soon as another advancement was made, it would be matched by the other side. And their version of science wasn't advanced enough to create something that would completely obliterate the other. The War God, as they are most commonly referred to as, created us. A pocket universe in which time moved faster. The thought was that they could collapse trillions of our years into mere seconds of their time. They also perfected the perfect people. People who would use those trillions of years to create machines of war their magic-based enemies wouldn't be prepared for. Holly says that the thought was, once trillions of years or mere seconds were complete, they would have a superior weapon and a universe full of resources to use. The Congregation of the War God is, in my opinion, very cynical. Worship in the congregation is based around the teaching that we all serve a higher purpose. And when we die, we are immediately transported to the end of days, where all of human history, every single laugh, tear, triumph, heartbreak, good idea, and stupid decision, collapses and compresses into just a few seconds, where your life is nothing but an imperceptible nanosecond, and you are finally able to serve your only purpose, to fight for the war. Congregation also stresses innovation and moving forward with your life. They have an extensive amount of lore surrounding the divine war, and it's all compiled into a book. a book they all adore. It's like the Bible, except they don't base their lives around it, only their deaths. Funerals are also a big deal. The Congregation of the War God is a great religion for those who currently fear death, who need a comprehensive creation myth, and who have a sense of duty. Now, before we move on to the last religion, we're going to do a little something I like to call the end of the world. Because that's what we're talking about. The end of the world. Okay, so the title needs some work, but this is my expert-level analysis on which end-of-the-world scenarios are the best. Here's how it works. I'll describe each apocalypse in detail and give you my decision. Yay or nay? Do you invest in this end, or do you wait for something else? Apocalypse number one. A certain religious order once predicted that the world is currently ending. They say that as soon as the world began, it started to end, but only the process takes billions of years. They say that the Earth is in a state of perpetual decay and there's nothing we can do about it. Things will just continue to get worse until eventually society will collapse, leaving us with no government and too much free will. At this point, humans will be so messed up that everything will devolve into anarchy, bloodshed, and chaos. Here's what I say. Nay. This apocalypse doesn't have any hope, which is what religion should always uphold, even at the end of the world. What makes this apocalypse so scary is that it certainly looks like that's what's going on in our world right now. But you shouldn't at all be scared. The winged spaghetti monster will come and save us all. The holy scripture of another religion says this. Well, okay, I'm going to have my friend, who's sitting right next to me, read this out, because he does it great. He was cast out to sea, never to be seen again. Exiled in a boat, cursed, never to reach shore, no matter how hard its captain tries. If you find an old schooner adrift at sea during a storm with no crew, be warned. It is his. Stay clear unless you have to, and if you board it, search it. If you don't find him, then it is too late. He has already taken your ship along with the lives of all its crew, and is now sending it back to land where he plans to finish what he started. Thanks, Jim. This is referring to an earlier part of the scripture, which says that the world used to be a far more beautiful place than it is now. He destroyed that beauty and would have finished the job if a coalition of all that was good hadn't exiled him. He has had thousands of years to grow stronger, and if unleashed on this world once more, we would all be powerless to stop him. Here's what I say. This is a great one. Holy scriptures are the best, even when they predict the end of the world. All right. You've all heard of karma, I'm sure. It's a pretty great concept. Whatever you put into the world, you get out. But the Kurgans saw a problem with this. It's too personal. Yes, it keeps the individual in line, but karma really should mean something bigger. The Kurgans believe that karma is bigger, that karma is collective. They believe that every single action we take is recorded through collective karma. It always has. But unlike regular karma, they think that collective karma has yet to resurface. Right now, you can live your life free from karma consequence. But eventually, a day of reckoning will come. A day where all human actions across all time rain back on us. Every single action being reflected through something equally as horrible or wonderful. All of what it means to be human will become painfully apparent as a hurricane of humanity sets in, each reaction cascading into the next until it becomes a tsunami of karma that will bring the world to its knees. The Kurgans don't view it as something to look forward to, but definitely something a person would be lucky to be alive for. Here's my verdict. Yay. Unlike the others, this does actually have a silver lining. It does sound pretty awesome to learn all of what it means to be human, especially if the world's about to end. Alright, back to religions. I have one more for you, and it is a great one. Religion number 5. Aquianity. Aquianity, as its name suggests, centers mostly around water. They believe water is sacred. Water is holy. They believe that people came from water, and someday we must return. Aquists are wonderful people. They believe in nature, with water as the guiding force, the behind-the-scenes power that drives our world. They also believe in the control water has over our world, its destructive power, its ability to keep us in check. For Aquists aren't just nature-loving, happy people. The religion has its darker aspects. Just like the sea, the religion possesses an overpowering passion, a stormy righteousness that is reflected in their belief system. Aquanity is often called a Neo-Poseidon cult, but they'll tell you something much different. They believe in a sea god, but it's less of a man and more of a religious figure who they believe has the power to control all of humanity and all of nature. They believe in a vengeful god, one who has the power to end it all. We must all escape its wrath, and the only way to do so is to return to the sea. Aquists have a very specific diet, which consists of fish, seaweed, and just generally lots of seafood. Religious services are held in the nearest body of water. So are many other important events, such as birthdays, funerals, and what they call the baths, bimonthly swims in designated waters meant to cleanse the soul and send the filth back to where it can be purified, the sea. Aquists believe in the calling, something meant to be a divine message, a call to return. They describe it as a widespread pull to go back to the sea. They spend as much time as possible answering the call, praying to the sea god, and spending as much as hours on end, almost fully submerged. Community events are almost always water-based, with people swimming, sailing, diving. Slip and slides are also very popular. Aquanity is great for people who love water, believe in nature and the power over us all, and who prefer to bow to a higher power with no love or remorse, but with lots to offer. Well, there you go. I just gave you 5 alternative religious practices to fill the gaping, desperate hole left inside you after you abandoned your toxic religious community and vowed never to come back. Humans need hope. Hope illuminates the dark, twisting tunnel that is life. Without hope, we're lost. And religious gives us easy, unconditional hope. It lets us turn off the light at night and easily drift off to sleep. You don't have to love religion, but that has to be worth something. As a wise person once said, and I'm paraphrasing this, God's fake, right up until you need him. Because God might not have created us, but we created him, and gave him lots of power. He's not going to let go of that power, but we're certainly not going to let go of him. Alright, well, thank you to the one professor. This tone definitely got more serious as his talk went on, but I appreciated that. That was good. And, yeah, okay, fine. That was my script. I had a lot of fun writing it, and I hope you had a lot of fun listening to it. The names aren't the best, let's be honest. But there you go. Hope I didn't offend anybody. Certainly wasn't trying to, but yeah. Religion, man, it's really, really powerful. Okay, well, this is Ellis signing off. Hopefully I'll make at least one more episode soon, but if not, then I'll see ya. All right, well, keep on being awesome.